Welcome to Rolling Intentions. My name is Jason.
Is it really?
What?
It's Megan.
Wait, sorry.
You were Charles,
weren't you? No, I was Charles, and you were Megan.
I don't know anymore. Anyways, we're just finished playing Don't Rest Your Head, we're just going to do a review. So this is Jason.
Charles.
Bobby.
Nagor, Keeper of the Chalice of the Damned.
Yeah, that's a hard act to follow.
And Megan is here too. So Don't Rush Your Head, Fred Hicks game. Evil Hat, and not Mad Hat. I said Mad Hat first time. The rules are interesting, I think, and the fact that there's no life pool or anything like that, but rather that it relies on madness as a way to lose, and also exhaustion, which is another way to lose, right?
I find it interesting in that, at the beginning you only have a madness die or two madness die.
Zero.
Exhaustion die, sorry.
Yeah, two or so, one or two.
And so you're either, you know, trying to drive yourself mad using your madness powers, using your madness dice as much as you can, which, you know, causes you to snap and go mad, or, you know, trying to up your exhaustion dice, but then you're at risk of rolling more exhaustion dice. So you're either failing or you're succeeding but getting closer to death. And I found, especially for a horror game, that's a very interesting way to do it. That means that, you know, I can, you know, if this was just a slasher, I could just run from the slasher for a long time and succeed, but I'm constantly getting more tired and more mad. Mm-hmm. Is that a welcome interjection?
Yeah, whatever you think is right, yeah. And what about you, Bobby? I mean, how many whooping games have you played beforehand?
I've played a few. Most of them are, like, D&D or Pathfinder style.
Mm-hmm. This is a little bit different.
A little bit different. It was sort of hard to grasp at the beginning, but then I sort of, like, you know, got the hang of it. And, you know.
It's kind of halfway between Fiasco and Seven Skies, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the paper in the book was really thin. Fix that next time.
Yeah. Brogan, what do you think about the game? Any discussions?
I think it has a lot of potential. Mechanically, it's fairly sound, although the exhaustion could maybe use a bit of retooling, in that I don't like the idea of it forcing you to fall asleep because it removes you from active play.
Yeah.
But now, generally what happens is this game is designed for like one or two people, like at a GM. So when you fall asleep, what usually happens is bad stuff happens while you're asleep, and then your character is back into the Slumber City or in Mad City, but with no exhaustion dice. If he's not in the Mad City, if he's in the Slumber City or whatever, then he has to become an insomniac again. And while he's doing that, all the things that he was going for, the situation gets worse for him when he goes back. Generally how it works, but
aside from that, I don't really think this is my kind of game. I would recommend it to someone else who might enjoy trying a horror game and could do it seriously. But I find I have a lot of trouble with the idea of a horror game, a horror board game in and of, or horror RPG in and of itself, because horror is by nature something that works better if you are alone.
I felt that I created a very interesting character with character creation, but I didn't create one whose fears were easily something that could be role-played. Since, his, you know, his fears were not only internal, they were internal, like, you know, it's not only
it's hard
meeting someone from my past,
like that.
It's meeting myself from my past.
Well, now that we've played it, and if we did it again, I'm sure we could make a character that's better, more easily played.
I'd like a system that that guides you towards making a character who has that kind of qualities to begin with.
I like the questions in the openness, but that's just my personal taste. Like, I like the way.
Yeah,
it should come further.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a very open-ended, because the game doesn't want to feel like you're streamlined to the class system.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So it's
that's
and but it really takes what your fears from the inside too, because all your characters will have something that you're kind of scared of too.
Yep.
Like it's almost like, you know, almost like it's coming from your mind.
For me though, the system It's ironic that the system's about fear, because it feels like the system itself is afraid to define you enough to the
point where you have fear.
To the point where it's clear what you need.
Yeah. We want to leave it open, but we don't want to pin you down enough.
Yeah, it's like they're afraid to define things, which is a bit of a problem in a game like this, where clearly defined boundaries are necessary so that you can push them and make people uncomfortable.
Yeah. I have this opinion that the more one-off, the shorter game a session is supposed to be, the more information you should pin down right away. Lady Blackbird, I think...
Yes, that's a good example of one.
That's what you were thinking of.
Yeah.
Because it pinned down a lot about the characters. The characters existed before you even start Lady Blackbird. But it's supposed to be one-off. It's supposed to be one session, maybe three or four.
I will say that I just finished talking to Aaron Friesen, who's on his seventh game of Lady Blackbird. And he told me to read the APs and how different and how it changed over the last seven. The game can be very long-term.
It's so easy to start, though.
You just fall right into it.
I don't think I could ever play a Lady Blackbird game that would still be Lady Blackbird for 57 sessions, which was my longest running RPG, which was the Seven Skies game.
Yeah. She 57 sessions is longer than long.
Yeah. Right? My point is...
Long campaign is like 12, 13.
The thing is, over such a... Yeah. My point is that there's such a long campaign, you don't need to pin down your characters right away, since details develop over time. Carpoon didn't start out as, you know, a guy who was looking to take revenge on a slave master. He was just someone running away and having an adventure on a steamship.
Oh, I will say that Don't Rush Your Head doesn't feel like a long-term game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It doesn't feel like a long-term game, but it doesn't pin you down enough.
It's not long-term, because once you get out of the mood, it ruins it, and it's no good anymore. That's why it needs to be short.
I guess... the simplest way for us to put this is Don't Rest Your Head has a problem that tends to pop up in some of the narrative RPGs that need a little bit of work, in that it lacks sufficient information and boundary to create the atmosphere that it requires.
Yeah.
It's very dependent on atmosphere, and it doesn't give us one. It expects us to build an atmosphere as well as a character, and that makes it very hard to roleplay and enjoy it at the same time.
As far as the atmosphere... I don't think I'm going to blame the atmosphere on the system, because it is a horror game, and those heavily rely on having a DM who's very good at horror, which is a very special talent, no offense, Jason. I think if we had a proper horror GM, the system would have been very well suited towards that.
But maybe, it's hard
to drag anything from the characters unless they're defined better.
I don't know, I can visualize things just fine, like in...
In the setting, I... did love the setting.
Yeah. The setting was great.
Yeah.
Setting, I almost felt, I know, this is about your DMing. I felt like you were giving us too much information about the setting.
Yeah, see,
Everybody was supposed to, well, I shouldn't say everybody's supposed to read the book, but, the book itself gives you all the information for the setting. And all I was doing was basically reverbalizing what it tells me to reverbalize to the players, right?
So the players are actually supposed to know that much about the Mad City.
The players are supposed to know much more. I felt it was actually very much the opposite in that after reading the book, so when I started this, I felt like I didn't really have a feel for what the world was supposed to be, and that was a problem.
Mm, you mentioned that, yeah.
But after reading the book, it still feels a little bit like, well, the horror is not particularly, it's not as subtle as it could be.
It's not subtle at all.
And I think that's a bit of a problem in a horror game that doesn't include visuals.
Well, the thing is, it takes you right out of the world. Like, it takes you right out of normal, and it puts you right into fucked up, right? Rather than altering your reality.
Well, the thing is, subtle fear is what really builds an atmosphere, and it's what...
There's no suspense.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh...
Well, it just feels like I got plopped into a fantasy world as opposed to a horror world.
It's
just
more
an
like
unfortunately
Alice
unpleasant
Wonderland.
One.
It's like Alice in Wonderland. It's not horror.
Yeah, the only problem with this game is like what you're explaining with is like it does have a very like explicit story about the town. Mm-hmm. So if I follow it, I mean that's pretty much what I do is kind of follow it, and.
Yeah.
Put in the horror as almost like Basically, you read this, this doesn't really reflect horror, other than the fact there's just creepy things going on.
Well, so that's the thing, is right? It doesn't feel to me like it's a horror world. It feels like I'm in a world full of kind of fucked up shit.
The more consistent rules are to the world that we can affect.
The characters and forces at work in the Mad City are the GMC and Animate, and they have a few conflicts already built in, which you may draw upon creating their own. The few observations in your brain that could start cooking on how to animate Mad City as a lively backdrop. The living city. Does the city have a conscience? How did it come about? What came before it? The bizarre dealings. These are the things that the GM is supposed to make up before even playing. Mm. Bizarre dealings. What's the bizarre about? The Wax King might be backing it, or he might not be, or he might not be alone in what he's doing. What other forces work there? The 13th District. Officer Tuck had was very concerned about things, about being done properly on time. This can be easily put him in a conflict with protagonists, locals, and neighbors alike. Pinheads and Paperboys. What happens if each has a story and neither backs down? Is there a Mad City where they could dissolve a bizarre kind of gang warfare with the newspaper? I mean, none of these are really horror based. At no point does it say. It just says. Soon you'll be telling your way into a kind of creepy, dark fairy tale stories that Don't Wish Your Head is made for.
So it has all the trappings of a horror game, like, but at the same time, like.
It's like a fairy, dark fairy tale.
That's pretty good in that it does feel a lot to me like
a dark fairy tale.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not really
It does have to play off your fears, though, so.
Yeah. So, and that's basically the review of Don't Rush Your Head. So, final verdict really is that I guess the idea of it being a horror game is not really a horror game. It's more like a sort of like a fairy tale setting.
I'm not sure it accomplishes the fairy tale one either, because it did a lot of the time. It did feel more like a horror game. Dark fairy tales aren't often they don't follow that same mechanic. Yeah, I still feel like that setting should work on dream logic. It doesn't necessarily, though.
That's the problem, is it doesn't try to work on dream logic, but it tries to explain away all its inconsistencies with dream logic, and that just doesn't work for me. You need to pick one or the other.
So my verdict is exactly that the DM needs to be experienced with it already, and needs to know what to change to make it feel more fairy tale, what to change to make it feel more horror, but it's too much in between right now.
Yeah. You need to, like, stamp down what it is.
Well enough. I think that the issue is not we need a better DM for it. I think the issue is if you had a sufficiently experienced DM with the system, he would know how to change the system. Mm-hmm. But at that point, you're not really playing the same game. He's now created a more functioning version.
Sure. So, and for a lot of it, it's all based on what you've written down on your character sheets. And honestly, I didn't have a lot to go with, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have a lot to go with you or Megan's character. The only two characters I even had anything to go with is the child and the parents, because that was direct motivations. The other ones were too obscure for me to
pin down.
Yeah. That's why if we played it again, we'd know not to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
if I were to play this again, I would only have three people, and
I would have two, actually.
I'd probably have three people, and I plan to have maybe two sessions with all of them. You know, one session with all of them, a session with each of them, a session with all of them. And that would be the clue. That would be the end of it. I don't think we could continue it after that.
Yeah.
The characters would either probably have completed the missions by then, or died. Or both.
Just the system seems not suit exactly the what we thought it was going for. And it's kind of hard to this. It's really hard to GM, actually. But anyways. And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.